Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So assignment from yesterday, write a dialogue between the part of you who wants to be close and the part of you who wants to keep a distance. Record and listen. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Sharon, calling in from Barbados. Hi there.
Hello, Sharon.
I looked at this. It's funny, the two sides, because, on the one side, it's please come and cuddle with me and be close, let's be buddies. And then the other side, too close, I feel cramped, or I need time to myself, stop controlling
me. Give me a little space here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now because my husband wanted to retile the house, and it's really has been impacting on my life. And I can't really say, I told you this wasn't going to work, because it isn't. It's really made my life hard. I have other responsibilities, and it's rough.
Yeah. And so there are two things that you're seeing about it. One, I project that you're seeing, as we would all see in this, that it's a bit of a mixed message for somebody else, that in this minute I want this and in the next minute I want that. That can be confusing. And then also seeing how the various aspects of the relationship affect that. So if you're upset at him for making a decision that you told him was not going to be good for you, and he went ahead and did it anyway, then you're not so interested in cuddling.
Right. And even he isn't, because he's working really hard. I'm trying to help, but I have to stay on top of my work, so I think he's probably getting resentful that I'm not doing more, and it hasn't been really good for our relationship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, this is not a problem-solving opportunity, but one of the things that occurs to me with this, Ashwini can help me with this, but I think it's in When You're Falling Dive. One of the encouragements in that is, in a situation like this, you're both unhappy with what's going on. He's not thrilled with it. You're not thrilled with it. And the tendency is to blame one another or take it out on one another. And
yeah.
So if we can take something like retiling the house, and if you imagine there are the two of you sitting on the couch together, and you put the problem of retiling the house out in front of you, and together, you sit closer and closer together as you look at that problem. And realize the problem isn't between you. The problem is with retiling the house. And so in that way, you put all of your energy into supporting one another as both of you go through this really difficult situation.
Yeah. Uh-huh, that makes sense. And then another layer on top of it is our avocados are becoming ripe. And there's somebody scouring the neighborhood and taking people's avocados at night. And I feel so upset by it, because there's not much I can do. I want to put out a, one of those motion sensitive lights, and he doesn't. I want to negotiate with him, give him a bucket if he'll leave the tree alone. He doesn't like that. It's just I'm powerless, but I'm depressed about it too. So I don't know. We could talk about that as well, I guess.
Yes, absolutely, because we can see how all of these things go together, right? So there's the unfinished stuff. There's the agitation about the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're cranky and
mm-hmm.
crabby and upset. And so then everything becomes an opportunity to work it out, not work it out, but you know what I mean, in the relationship. So then we just start taking more and more stuff out on one another that doesn't have anything to do with the relationship, doesn't have anything to do with the two of you, doesn't mean you don't love each other.
So
if we can see that process going on, then we have a chance to not make one another miserable because of circumstances, but instead to let those circumstances strengthen the relationship.
Yeah, separate the two and see if we can, you know, collaborate on how to deal with the other stuff. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Instead of dividing the team, let it bring the team closer together, because you're both much, much stronger when you have one another on your side. So what ego knows is that if it can get you separated, which is its whole deal, and get you alone and make campaigns, you know, pursue these campaigns against, well, and he does, and well, and she did, then you're both much weaker. But if you band together on this against what ego is doing, then solving those problems will be nothing.
But what if he doesn't like any of my ideas? That's the thing.
Well, but once you get together, he will. He didn't like him now because he's unhappy and upset. That's my project. That's what
okay.
I would be doing.
All right.
Yeah, so first get together, and then see about the cooperation.
Okay. Thanks so much,
right.
Sherry.
Let me know.
You too. All right. Thanks, you.
All
both
right.
of you. All right.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sorry, I was choking right there. But what dropped in for me was two things, right, Sherry, that the process of ego is always, we talked about this yesterday, is always separation, and that operates in that perfect way in close relationships where it divides by blaming the people involved so that separation is what results. And I was seeing that it's the same thing between aspects of ourselves that are different. If one wants intimacy and the other wants space, that within an ego process, it's one or the other. It's never that stepped back place where both are possible, that it's possible to negotiate what's compassionate for all, even if the individual orientations are not necessarily congruent.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
What gets played out in external relationships, because it's what gets played out in internal relationships as well.
Precisely.
Because we're conditioned to believe that only one is possible, and therefore there's opposition. But with awareness, we can always get to a step back place where it's all is true. And so from a perspective of all is true, then what are the circumstances? Rather than I have to decide which one is true because of the circumstances.
Yes, yes. And the ego is the originator of divide and conquer. So it's constantly dividing, and it's the one that's conquering. And that's a really important shift in our perception that we need to make, that all of this is always happening to benefit ego.
Yeah.
Sounds like somebody's having breakfast. Are people muted?
Everybody is muted. I can hear something like a hammer.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, go ahead.
All right. I will bring on the next caller. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Diane in Colorado.
Good morning, Diane. What are you seeing?
Well, I saw a dialogue between self-hate and kind of the optimist.
Say more.
So the optimist was the one who wanted to be close.
Mm-hmm.
And
somebody who lives in possibility and connection and that sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, well, let's give this a shot, and wouldn't that be nice? And the past isn't always a predictor of the future, and that sort of approach. And then the one who wanted distance was the self-hating voice of, you know, it'll never work, you get frustrated with people, you know, basically you suck.
Right. Yes.
the great projector, right? Everything that self-hate is, it's projecting onto you and saying, so since you are like this, which you are not, since you are like this, you need to act this out in your life. In other words, you need to let me take over and live your life for you and tell you that it's because you suck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, isn't that helpful to see?
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't see it with such clarity when I was doing the exercise yesterday, but today I did. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I see what's going on here.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I love it. I just love it. Because the way the exercise is written, it could be that they're just legitimately parts of me that like closeness and like space, mm-hmm. which an awful lot of people do. But then you drop down to another layer, which is that what's agitating, what's doing the sowing the seeds of discontent is self-hate. And it's not like it wants space. It wants you. And if it can get you to not like anybody else, be afraid to risk relationship, get you to believe that taking care of you is isolating from other people, well, then it's got your life, which is what it's going for. But you saw it. So it doesn't get to do that.
Yep, I'm on to this part of it.
You are on to this part of it. And even though it didn't say, I mean, it didn't really use hateful language, right? It's kind of, it's like it's a friend. Well, you know, you get frustrated with people. You know, you don't really like people. I mean, why would you? Yeah, but it's only when, it's only when we go against its, in quotes, guidance that we see how truly hateful it is.
Oh, what I wrote down was pretty hateful.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't terribly subtle.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I like it when it trips up like that. when it just assumes that it can do what it's been able to do at other times and it's going to work now. See, it self-hate is not aware that you're doing awareness practice. It hasn't really caught on to that yet. So it'll say things that it could have gotten away with at another time, but now you're paying attention, so it's not getting away with it.
Yeah, I think what I'm seeing is that sometimes it's pretty sneaky and sometimes it isn't.
Yeah, sometimes, yes. And it's really helpful to see it in both of its little outfits, isn't it? Whether it's being your best friend and just telling you, you know, it's not your fault you suck. It really's not. It's okay that you, or it's just out and out. Basically, I hate you and I hate everything about you. Catching on to all of its modes is really helpful. All right. Well, I'm very glad you saw that.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Take good care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Diane. Sure. I'm going to bring on another caller so I don't get choking. Yes, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Janice from Victoria, and I'm so happy to be here. I couldn't do this without Sangha.
Uh-huh. It is the God's truth, isn't it?
It sure is.
And yeah. What are you seeing?
Well, what I see is every time somebody talks, I completely relate to what they are saying. And even if the situation has changed, like my children aren't little, you know, I can see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it can continue.
We are one. We are one.
You know, that image that we always use, and it's not original with us, who knows where it came from, but cells in the body of the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
It's it, isn't it? I mean, yes, the cells have their unique little that we bring to it, but we're all cells, and we're all in the body of the Buddha. So it's not like we're ever going to run into a cell that we don't relate to, and that doesn't inform us in some way about ourselves and expand our awareness. And
And then in listening to the first caller talking about being intimate, the relationship of being intimate with oneself, and. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's such an exquisite relationship, because when we first were talking about relationships, I was thinking, I don't think I'm ever not in a relationship towards something, you know, nature, people, animals, whatever it is. And but it's in there. It's in me. So,
and the degree of intimacy, it depends on what we were looking at the last call, right? That the last conversation, that it's how much that negativity of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, that illusion of separation, how much that has been able to slip in, ooze in, and take part of our attention.
Yeah,
because we can be walking in beautiful woods and lost in a conversation about something wrong, and there is no intimacy there, right? Mm-hmm. There's no connection, no sense of oneness there. Yeah.
Yeah, and when I feel those wedges like that come in, it feels like time. You know, when the wedges are there, time drags, but when I can drop those wedges, like see that, oh, I really want. Just like the caller was saying, you know, I want this time alone, and then also I want intimacy with, you know, somebody else or others. And there's this dance that goes on. But when I can just drop that, it feels really timeless. Like I actually lose track of time.
Uh-huh. In the best sense. It's not the same as going unconscious for a year and saying, Is it Christmas again? Wasn't it just Christmas last week? Mm-hmm. It's not that losing time, right? It's timelessness.
And I'm just sort of looking ahead and just thinking, you know, here we're kind of coming up to another, just our last month or so of this fabulous year.
I know. Isn't that something?
It really is. Yeah. Like I kind of drool over even listening to, listening to a recording, because I try to be there every day. I noticed today that there's the blue button back again that I could do. I didn't have to go on the dial pad, but I've been dialing in every day, and yesterday I had to miss it. So I was just before this call, I was listening to yesterday's call, and I was kind of thinking I was in the queue almost, and then I remembered, no, that's not live. This is the next moment.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm getting in that queue. But it's so incredibly supportive. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And it is all live, the way you just laid that out, because you're so there with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that laughter, that, you know, it just... If I'm sitting listening somewhere with my earbuds into a recording, I mean, I'm giggling because I can relate to all of this that everybody's saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, conditioning wants to say that there's, there's always more to do. And when you said, well, conditioning's just jealous. And also conditioning's not wise. It doesn't know a thing about it. So it's actually, kind of like ignorance, right? It's sneaky, but it's ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wish everybody who has the colds and the coughs and all of those things wellness.
Wellness, yes. Yes, yeah. Boy, 'tis the season, huh, for all of that sort of thing, for taking mm-hmm. good care of ourselves in the face of an onslaught of germs.
Yes.
All right, well, you take good care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. See you in December.
Yes, yes. Hopefully talk to you before then, but if not, we have a date.
I'll be in the queue.
All right. Thanks, Janice.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Janice. It's interesting, right, Sherry, what dropped in for me around that conversation or that theme we're having about separation, that there is that we tend to feel that the aspect of me that wants separation is me, but what wants separation is actually not me.
Yes.
And a distinction between space and ego, or a desire for solitude to be in an exclusive relationship with life, is different from I want to be, ego wants me to itself.
To be alone with it.
Yeah.
They're just completely different experiences, aren't they? The first mm-hmm. one that you described is actually full of love. It's not, mm-hmm. I'm not on my own to separate from everybody. I'm on my own because that enables me to go deeper into love. And that mm-hmm. love is what I then have to offer in the world, right? As compared to I'm on my own, so that the self-hate, ego, can do further damage to me and everybody else. They're light years apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And speaking of which, Ashwini, you opened up a moment for a little commercial, because I just finished a blog that I think speaks to what you were just saying. And I hope people will let me know, but I hope will help clarify those relationships. What is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate? What is the authentic human incarnation? What is the unconditional love? Accessing that from a stepped back, disidentified place. So maybe people can watch for that and give it a little look-see.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait.
Mm.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Barbara calling from Chicago.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi. I'm surprised. I'm a little spaced out. I was sitting in my car in a forest preserve.
I see.
It's just nice.
Enjoying some beauty and solitude?
Well, I just wanted to sit still for the call. And,
uh-huh.
you know, just because I only have a couple of times I can call in during the week, and I still frequently get talked into hanging up when I'm in the queue.
Oh,
so it's always a little victory.
Yeah, that's not going to go on much longer. You're on to that one.
Yeah, I'm on to it, and I keep plugging away. So here I am.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so what else are you seeing?
So what I saw in this dialogue was, at first I kind of assumed that the part that wanted to be close was the heart, you know, the loving part, mm-hmm. and that the part mm-hmm. that wanted to be separate was conditioning. And then what I found is they kind of shape-shifted in the conversation, and the person or the part that wanted to be close talked about how important it was, but also how hard it is. And then that was like this opening for the other part to say, yes, I know it's really hard, and all these other reasons that you should probably just stay alone.
uh-huh.
And it was, but it was this kind of like, I think you said something, you alluded to this a little earlier. It was something very seemingly compassionate about the ego voice saying, yes, honey, I know it's really hard, and maybe, you know, we should just, you know, we should, it's, there's something really seductive about it and separating and in a weird way, comforting.
Well, so yeah, when it gets to we, see, you're not alone.
It's
hard to be with other human beings, but now we're okay just on our own, aren't we? And then you get that creepy up your spine feeling of, ooh, I don't think this is something I want to be alone with.
yeah, absolutely. I didn't actually see it during the conversation. It just felt like it was listening to this part of me that was struggling with connection and was in some way hearing that. So, I don't know. Then it became like the same voice, not two different voices. It's like I lost the part that really wanted to connect. I mean, I saw it when I listened to it afterward, but I've noticed in practice a lot lately is what I'm calling the seduction of like sadness and separation. There's something that's very familiar to me with in that feels that I get pulled in, and I almost am ashamed to say it out loud, but it's what happens over and over
again
to me.
Oh, and don't say it out loud, because that's how you really claim that that's not me. So to me, what you got to see in that is that the exercise was done between ego and ego. Right? Ego wants relationship, ego doesn't want relationship. And because you do awareness practice, you were actually observing that. And so you could see, and again, a big commercial for the blog, you saw where you, the authentic human being, was taken over by that particular story. You were in that observer role, and then you watched the takeover as it was a story that has been around for a long time. It's been an identity. Yeah. It's familiar. It's known. Do not ever hesitate to call those things out, because that's how we get clearer and clearer what that is and what's going on. And it's not you. It's such a really important point that you're making, because that system would have us believe that there's always something unpleasant or creepy or frightening or something about being taken over by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, but that's not true. It's very successful, because much of it is what we're familiar with, what's comfortable, what feels, it can even feel like love.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. And the word seduction keeps coming up. It just is such a strong pull, I think, for all of those reasons. It's familiar, it's old, you know. I know this more than I know other things, maybe.
Yes.
Other ways of being.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, been, in quotes, me for a long time. And one of the places, just for all of us, we're coming into the holidays in this country, right? I don't know about what the rest of the world does with that sort of thing, but in this country, it's a big deal. The Christmas trees are going up, the lights are on. We didn't even get through Thanksgiving yet, right? And now talk about a plunge into all of those really old beliefs and emotional reactions and the connections of me at such an early age. What it all means and how it feels and how I should be. And it is like a tsunami of conditioning.
Yeah.
So we all got to stay heads up.
right? We really do have to really stay focused on that as a process.
Well, I'm glad I got to get on and say that.
That's right. Me too. The rewards of not going with ego impulses, but staying with practice. Really, it's choosing practice. When it's sort of choosing practice when that feels like our only choice. It's not. It's like a grabbing for a lifeline, even though there's nothing in me that believes it'll work or that I should or anything else. But I know to reach for that lifeline. So,
right.
Glad
there is
you did.
No other choice. I see that. Yes. This is the
it's
good
such
choice.
A good thing to see, isn't it? It's like it eliminates
it
a
it
lot
really
of the conversation.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Well,
thank you
so
much.
Take good care. Okay. Bye.
Yes, you too. Bye bye.
Thanks, Barbara and Cherry. That brings us to the end of the show. And here is our assignment for today. Review your life and make a list of commitments you have kept. What did you see in the process of answering this question? Record and listen.
Ooh. So good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini. And thank you, everybody.
Take care. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.